Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me today, for the first time on the A Minute to Midnight show, I have Celeste Solem. So welcome, Celeste.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I tell you, I've had a lot of people saying, I've got to get you on the show, which is really interesting because mostly, I already had you booked anyway. And following a show I did with my source, who's an ex-32nd degree Freemason, more people were asking, saying, hey, he's saying similar things to you. So I think it's timely that you're actually the next interview following that one. So it's very good to have you on the show.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Can you maybe start off? I am saying a lot of listeners have been asking for you, but I'm sure there'll still be some that don't know who you are. Maybe you could give them a bit of a background and your bio a bit.
Okay, so I started out in medicine in a career in pediatrics, which is children's medicine, and then went to dentistry, and then I went to environmental medicine, and then I took a sharp 90-degree turn, and I went and worked for the FEMA. And then that was before 9/11. So then after that, of course, there's a close liaison with Department of Homeland Security. So I work with both agencies, but primarily FEMA. I have an organic garden and farm in the Rocky Mountains, and I love to push the envelope. So I have one of the Australian finger limes in my windowsill. So I have a whole citrus orchard, and I just love to see what I can grow here in Montana.
Yes. Well, that's a fairly more extreme climate than ours. And it gets cold enough here, and citrus, some of the citruses goes good outside as long as it's away from the frost, and some of the others is like, nah, not so good. So, but we get away with a lot of stuff. Actually, you can grow an awful lot of different things here, which is a very good growing climate. So when, how long ago was it that you left working for FEMA?
So I've been away from the agencies for about 15 years, something like that.
Okay. So yeah, you learned some pretty horrendous stuff while you were with them. Do you maybe want to give a little bit of a background into some of that?
Basically I did your Y2K. So I was involved with that, 9/11. And Hurricane Katrina, which changed a lot of things. There were many different objectives that they achieved with that particular hurricane. And then, of course, your floods and earthquakes and tornadoes, your regular disasters of all kinds. So when you work for FEMA, you kind of do everything from incident command to working in the emergency operations center, fielding calls, doing exercises. I also have designed exercises, participated in like mass casualty exercises, that type of thing. So, but plans are really my specialty, which is why when I went to the World Economic Forum and I saw the plans that just came out the middle of January, my jaw almost dropped to the floor because there were many plans both in computers and on the shelves collecting dust. And they were adding to them, and they were very layered, but they had not been perfected. And what I saw at the World Economic Forum was a perfected system for global governance.
Yes, it's very, very interesting. So just before we get onto that, because I do want to delve into that, what was your reasons for leaving FEMA?
So basically, they asked me to do something that I could not morally or ethically do. And they were not taking no for an answer. And I went to my inner circle and I said, do you think there's any way that I can do something different? Or am I reading this wrong or whatever? Because, it's not good to just take counsel within yourself. And so I just wanted to run it by the people that know me, and they said, no, you absolutely cannot do this. And it involved imprisoning people and if you were not retrainable, killing people that did not believe in the ideology of the state.
And I think we're rapidly moving to that actually becoming a reality. Yes. So, yes, perhaps we could look at that World Economic Forum website. I've had a look. I signed up for it as well, and it's pretty comprehensive. It's actually incredibly comprehensive. So do you want to maybe run us through that, and even you could share the screen of it?
Okay, just before we do, I want to let the listeners know and the viewers that when I discovered it, there were 200 layers deep. And that's what I had discovered when I was working. I was trying to look for the different layers, if there was anything that could be a breach or exploitable, so that it would not come to fruition. And I could never find it. But that was even in the primitive stage. But last week I went to go visit it, because every once in a while you just go and you check your sources just to see what's happening. What's new, they actually added 50 more layers. So now it's 250 layers deep. So they're actually snowballing it, probably through this, what should we call it, pathogen that's out there. They are refining their system. And so they've learned lessons. And so there's things that they want to achieve, objectives. And so now they've added a few things to their bucket list. So I'll go ahead and I'm not very good at this. I'm still a dinosaur learning new tricks, but we'll start sharing here. And I'll walk folks through. So this is what you see when you go to the World Economic Forum.
Do you want to just quickly tell the listeners how they can find the website?
So this is at www.weforum.org, and that will take you to the main page. And you can scroll down and look. There's Miss Greta Thunberg, and I find that it's interesting. She's right next to President Trump. And then if you scroll down, it'll talk about highlights, different things, how Davos is going to save the planet, how they're going to give us health care, all about tech, about the climate change. And we'll be getting into that. What about cybersecurity? What about charity? And of course, developing a vaccination. But this is just the main page. What we're really interested in, what really kicked the global ball. Before I go into that. So what you want to do is you want to click on platforms up here on this. It always does that. I'll stick right there and not keep my finger off of it. So COVID started it, but there are 18 different things. And as the viewers can see, it covers cities, infrastructure, cybersecurity, energy, public good, investing, mobility, so how we travel. There is blockchain and distributed ledger technologies. There's governance of the Internet of Things and robotics and smart cities. They're injecting a new economy and a new society. They're also shaping advanced manufacturing and production. They are shaping consumption, and we will no longer be consumers, and we can talk about that in a few minutes. Of course, they're going to introduce a digital economy, and there is this whole new value creation that is not the value that we have traditionally known, but interestingly, it is like things created out of thin air, mostly in the cyber world. And but lots of other value systems, what they really want to do is change our traditional and historical value systems to this new global value system. And that includes many different things. And then there's the financial and the monetary. And of course, of interest lately has been the health and the healthcare. So they are rolling out a new healthcare system. There's media and entertainment and culture. And I don't know if you watch Netflix or anything like that, but you get this pathogen commercial about staying home alone together and all this. And even whether you have it or you don't have it, just stay home. It's Big Brother, very Orwellian 1984 type thing. And then, of course, there's technology, governance, artificial intelligence, machine learning. And then there's what do we do with all this big data? And then the future of trade and global economics. So let's dig in and find out, because COVID really was what got the whole ball rolling. So we're going to press on the COVID. And there were different things. And it says that it has disrupted lives, livelihoods, communities, and businesses worldwide. And basically, if you go down to the second paragraph, it says, but the sum of many individual actions will not add up to a sufficient response. Only a coordinated action by business combined with global multi-stakeholder cooperation at exceptional scale and speed, which means artificial intelligence, can potentially mitigate the risk and the impact of this unprecedented crisis. So basically, they're saying in a nutshell, only global fascism with artificial intelligence running it is going to take care of the issue. And the three things, take homes that they want you to know or priorities, is that they wanted to galvanize the global business community for collective or fascist action. They want to protect people's livelihoods. Now, that is, those are special agenda livelihoods. So if you are something like a baker down the street, your livelihood is not protected. But just before we came on air, I was looking that the federal agencies are going to start going back to work. So our policers basically are going back to work. But the rest of us who actually make a living, you know, do whatever we do, that is not considered important or essential, as we've come to learn over the past few weeks. And then facilitate a business continuity. And most governments have a continuity of government. In America, it's called, the acronym is COOP. COOP or COG. And this is the business equivalent of that. And that is because in a global fascist system, there is a marriage between the government and the private industry. And then the third thing is to mobilize cooperation and business support for the response. So then you go down. This is just kind of getting your feet wet, kind of like when you're at the ocean and you're just dipping your toes in. And so you'll see different things that you could read about if you were interested or not. It's got some articles. It has some white papers. So there was one here. Where is it? Okay, so this one right here is that prepare for a new normal as lockdown restrictions ease. Monday's COVID-19 WHO briefing. And basically, we are being told that either our country or our state is going to be allowed to open at kind of a patchwork, patch quilt type of easing of restrictions. But who is really calling the shots? So the United Nations is calling the shots. So it's not our individual countries. They are acting in a Roman phalanx operation. This is operational of all their plans. So they are at the head. They are the ones making the call. So it's not really our prime ministers or our presidents or our governors. It is a global decision. And who gets to go back to work first are the policing people and also poor countries. Underdeveloped countries are being allowed to go back to work before places like the United States, who are a developed country. And I find that very interesting because that levels the playing field, which is another signature of global fascism. Everybody has to be equal. So then I'm going to go back now that we know that COVID is oh, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't get to my super graphic here. Did they put it way down? They did put it down here. So come on, little map. Oh, all right. We're not going to go that. All right. There's more than one way on this computer. It's some things changed on the internet today. So, you know, these days you just kind of have to flow with it. And so what I am going to do is show. Now, if you really want to dig into the different platforms, I spent about a month going through each platform and I learned some very startling things. But what you want to do is over on the right-hand side where of the platform and the menu up at top, it says top link. And you go ahead and you press that. You do have to provide a email address and a password, but I haven't gotten any junk mail. Who knows if they're monitoring me, you know, in my position, people are monitoring me all the time. So I'm just going to dive in right here. And then I'll bring it up inside. So this is a strategic intelligence that you can get on the 250 different layers of this global governance rollout. And so I'm going to go to this COVID. And now we're going to get it. So as you probably remember from about 2 months ago, the coronavirus is a virus that is spiked. And notice on the left-hand side, this image of COVID-19 at the beginning, and then all around it are the spikes that the little spikes are like little needles changing and injecting global governance into every bit of fabric of society, like humanitarian action, civic participation, retail, digital economy, inclusive design, supply chain and transport, the future of healthcare, aviation, travel, tourism. Behavior is interesting. Both China and the United States, the minute that they declared that this COVID-19 was an emergency, both countries, their first act was to release a mental health behavior program, framework, I guess it is called, because they said that the average person did not have the fortitude within them to handle any disaster, much less some of the disasters that we are going to see coming. So this is a real-time artificial intelligence run. So like I like to share with everybody, it's a lot like going to Costco. I don't know if you have Costco's there or wherever you live, but imagine going to a store and you say, my cart is too full or I'm in too much of a hurry, I'll pick it up next time. And you go there and it's gone. So that's a lot like this. So if you see something that is interesting to you, I would bookmark it, copy it, make a hard link, or do a screenshot so that you have it for your future reference. And I'm going to just press this one here that says avoiding COVID-19 infection and spread. And there you see the different tentacles. And this is like a real time from artificial intelligence telling you what is being impacted. And I went into a few of them. It also includes agile governance and global governance, finance and social protection, retail, consumer goods and lifestyles. And of course, the behavior, they've got the media involved, they've got global health, they've got value systems, and interesting, aging. And so then you go over to the right-hand side and you get this little snippet at the top. But if you press the read more, you get 2 to 5 paragraphs about the particular topic that you have selected. And then it will give you like the related topics. And so let's say we want, what would you like? Agile government.
Global governance. Global governance. Well,
it's global governance.
It's near the bottom.
Okay,
there
it is. Okay. Now watch over on the left-hand side, your spiked changes. And what you have done is entered into another level with whole new different deepening. You're going down into the rabbit hole and you can keep going. So let's do deepening interdependence. We'll press that. Oh, look at what we've got. We've got 5G. Before we hit 5G, read less. What I want the viewers and the listeners to know that if you scroll down on the right-hand side, it will show you all the articles that they're injecting into the media, into television, into newspapers, magazines, that type of thing. And like, it's very current, like April 20th, April 18th. It depends upon the different one that you're picking. They also, you can look at videos. So we'll just press videos and see what comes up with the videos. Of course, with videos, it takes a few minutes. And then it will give you the different videos that they are injecting into social media, into the media of all kinds. And then if you just want straight data, you can go to straight data. And they have this for every single item here of the 250. And I'm going to push 5G just for fun. We're going to go down another level of the rabbit hole. And there you go. It's changed. I haven't even gone down this rabbit hole. So they're talking about the regulatory environment for 5G, the 5G spectrum and network needs, the 5G security and critical infrastructure, the return on 5G investment, 5G business model transformation, the geoeconomic and trade impacts of 5G, and creating 5G value. And then, like I said, you on the right-hand side, you can go over and do the summary. You can look at what videos are out there on the 5G topic. And then also you can do the data. And this is global, so it doesn't matter if you're in India, Russia, Africa, the United States, New Zealand, Australia, Asia. It's all covered. And we'll go back. We're going to backtrack a bit. And I just want you to get, for the viewers, I want you to see just how deep this goes. It just goes and goes. You can look by country. You can look by topic. My fingers like to go. It covers like nuclear security, precision medicine, which is medicine based upon your DNA, poverty. Of course, these are the sustainable development goals. Those are all included. And what this global governance rollout does is it injects the global governance into the world, and it bypasses all of the resistance and, you know, taking a stand, public discussion, different countries passing laws. It becomes a moot point because it's already been activated, and all countries have activated this and are a part. And when you, when your politicians talk, they are talking in code. And then let's see, now I have to get back to you and stop sharing my screen here. Let's see, stop sharing. So that's kind of gives you a summary of the World Economic Forum. And if the listeners or viewers have problems or want help negotiating, I'm willing to help as much as my schedule allows that to happen.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's certainly incredibly deep. And how do you see this playing out in the near future with everything that's going on? What do you sort of see happening right now?
So there is a acronym called CBERN. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is used in the military, and it's it stands for chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and E is the wild card. And that could be anything that is an E. And so that could be Ebola. It could be economic. It could be environmental. It could be explosive. And it could be electromagnetic radiation. So anything with an E, and you just add that to whatever of the previous ones. So we've all been saturated with chemicals. We get it in the sky. We get it in our water. We get it in our food. Unfortunately, even when you're an organic farmer, we're just saturated with chemicals. So they've pretty well got that one under their belt. So now they are starting to release the biologicals. And there was an exercise several years ago. Everybody talks about Event 201, and I'm just like, no, no, no. You know, you got to talk about Clade X. I know my exercises, and Clade X was actually much more nefarious than Event 201. And I'll share why. So when they talk in code, so you have to know how to read the code. So when this pandemic exercise came up on my screen, I go, there's more to this story here than just a pandemic exercise. So I did my research, and I found out that for the last 10 years, they had been working on a new classification system for all life on Earth. And so in the past, there was the linear system that classified all life, and it kind of was vertical, up and down. And so like humans were humans. I mean, you might be an African, you might be Australian, you might be a Russian or whatever, you know, but we're humans. And so we would be in the human family. Well, this new code called the Philo code took 10 years to be developed. And it includes, so humans are now in the family with arthropods, reptiles, dinosaurs, and birds. Like, I'm not like a bird, or I'm not an arthropod, or, you know, but it's making these weird things because they knew there were several things. One, because of the experimentation in the labs, a lot of genetic modification, where they take one species, mix it with another. But there's also, we have entered what they call the sixth extinction level event. There have been five others, And that's when our magnetosphere collapses and cosmic rays flood into our atmosphere, and they bring different forms of radiation with them. And they mutate all life on Earth. And so basically they, some species go extinct and some thrive. And the governments wanted to, they knew that we're in the middle. We've actually started this process. So with this COVID, it actually was laboratory generated. But it's during this process where like a viral organism will mutate every 48 hours. And actually, if you wanted to go to nextstrain.org, it shows the mutation. It is crazy, absolutely crazy. And it comes from different animals, and it comes from different viruses, plus a few mysteries that we really, they haven't let out of the bag yet. So anyway, back to the Seaburn. So they're, back to the Clade X. So they knew that this.
Can you spell that out for our listeners in case they're wondering what that is?
Clade X?
Yeah.
It's C-L-A-D-E and then X, like an X-ray. And there are YouTubes on it. So they can actually see this. But how Clade X fits into this is COVID is the first created organism to test this system. So this is a created monstrosity that they have released, and they are watching this pandemic. So this is real time. And so they're just, that's why that next strain, .org is very fascinating to look at that, because that's what they're looking at.
Interesting when Mike Pompeo said we're in a live exercise, isn't it? That's pretty much what you've just said.
So also this phylo code, this new code or classification of life, it's very interesting because it can include aliens, demons, angels, things under the earth, synthetic life forms, robots like the synths that are look like a human. They have compassion, the whole 10 yards, but there's nothing human about them. And also these hybrid creatures that they're going to mix together in a blender and say we are safe from COVID, like humanized mice and humanized plants. And they're actually looking at 48 different vaccinations, and they include three things: aborted baby tissue, humanized mice, and humanized plants. And what is a humanized mouse? It is a mouse that has human blood. It has human organs. It has a human immune system. It's basically a human in a mouse suit. And then there are humanized plants, and those are plants. Plants have a vascular system. Our vascular system is blood, and it pumps the blood through our body. And in a plant, if you break the plant, you can see it has moisture. So they have a vascular system, but they don't have blood in it. But they took human proteins and injected it into these plants to make these plants part human and part, and they've been playing with this for a while, like they've humanized rice, humanized tomatoes, that type of thing. But this is the first, this is taking it basically to the next level. So they're going to take all these three things, the aborted babies, the humanized mice, and the humanized plants, mix them in the blender with a few other things, a few CRISPR things, tweak here, tweak there. And they say that this is going to save us from the COVID-19. And I don't see where putting something like that in your body is going to save you at all. So
no, definitely not. Wow. Yeah. So how far down this rabbit trail do you think we are now?
I believe we're pretty far. Do I believe that there's... like if a lot of people resisted, so in the rabbit hole when I was examining, they did say that in 2020, the power was going to go down. And I believe that they are waiting for a critical time. Maybe it would be resistance to the system or something and pull the plug for a while. It would be just a short term, but they are also aware that within about 3 years, there is this galactic energy sheet that has been hitting stars. It hit the outer planets in our solar system, and it's ready to do a collision course with the sun. And the sun has been very quiet, no sunspots. It's been very well behaved. I guess we had a tiny little geomagnetic storm today, but you know, not much of anything. But the people that watch and follow are really concerned that when this galactic energy sheet hits the sun, when it goes active and starts spewing out, you know, solar flares and this type of thing, there could be quite the fireworks. You know, could it do a super hyper intense solar flare? Yes. And they are thinking that that will take out the grid within about 3 years, maybe probably permanently. So folks really need to be preparing to grow their own food, to have, if you live in a cold place, you know, try to figure out how you're going to keep yourself warm without the system that we know now.
Because there was, of course, the Carrington event in the 1850s, which had that right. occurred now, the damage to that would be huge. Pretty much what you're saying, but perhaps even on a bigger scale.
Yes, that's what they're talking is. It would be much bigger because the Carrington event didn't have this galactic energy sheet slamming into it. I mean, when you've got stars basically doing firework displays and the different planets, and each planet as it hit, like the giants, Jupiter and Saturn, it did different things. The storms on them changed. They did all sorts of, it's very detailed to go into tonight, but now it's up, it's close to the sun just as the sun is waking up. So it could be a bad situation. And folks need to be prepared for that. And I believe, my thought is the powers that be, so I guess back up again, I'm the great backup lady, but I do this on the computer too. So my dad was in naval warfare, and he looked at me at 5 years old, about the time that I accepted Jesus as my personal savior. And he said, this is going to happen on your watch. And we would have all these interesting people like Jacques Cousteau and Roman Vishniac, a famous microbiologist, and these archaeologists that were finding advanced technologies in all these archaeological digs. And we're sitting at their feet listening to them talk about computers that they found and energy systems that they found in these ancient civilizations. So they knew that this was coming. And another thing the listeners and viewers can check out if they haven't already, are you familiar with Chan Thomas's The Adam and Eve Story?
No, I'm not.
So basically it is was a CIA operative, that agent, whatever you want to say, that wrote a book called The Adam and Eve Story. There's also a prelude and an aftermath. And it told about these extinction level events. And this, it was basically went into a pole shift situation and why the dinosaur bones and the great fauna were all mangled. Lots of bones, and they just didn't understand the power of or the dynamics of what happened. And it seems to be like it was a pole shift. And as you probably know, we've got the magnetic poles wandering right now. Yeah. And we have lost some of the magnetosphere. We're at about 75%. It's stable right this moment, but it's expected to jerk. So periodically, and you can't predict when the jerk is going to happen, then it just plummets. And then that's even more cosmic rays will happen. And what that does, not only cosmic ray wise, it provides nucleation for clouds. So you get much more precipitation. And I believe that the global governance knew that all this was going to take place. One, they wanted to feather their nests. They wanted to get control of the situation for themselves, not for us, but to, you know, do their hidey holes wherever, underground bases or whatever they were, wherever they're going to go off planet. You know, they've got their ducks in a row. So and then tax us and make it impossible for us to live. In Chan Thomas's story, there's a place that says that they felt that synthetic life form would be the only way to survive this sixth extinction level event. So it was classified. So because they wanted to keep it from the people, they didn't want the people to know. But now it has recently been declassified. So if you go to this CIA reading room or look up the Adam and Eve story, now just for clarification, he talks about some pretty crazy things like this. He gives like three versions of the Adam and Eve story. None of them are the biblical account, but the disaster, cataclysm, catastrophe part is accurate, but the biblical thing, you know, is not an accurate story. I obviously wasn't a Bible believing person. So, but it is worth a read. It's only about 100 to 150 pages if you got the aftermath and the prelude in there. And it's not dense, but I tell you, it's hair raising. I mean, he really nailed it from what I gleaned from my dad.
Wow. So as our time's getting on, like with this global government move, how rapidly do you see it occurring that we're out of the current system that we're in now into another system?
We are already there. They are already talking about the new normal. So what you're going to find as we all get released from our little cages, we're going to find a whole new system, and we're not going to have accessibility to food, to medical, to the different things that we have enjoyed historically and traditionally. We are going to find ourselves in this brave new world.
Yeah, it's pretty unsettling because, of course, it all happened so quickly. You know, I mean, some of us have been warning people that something like this is coming and nobody took us seriously, really. But, well, some people obviously did, but a lot of people just didn't. And you know, when we talk about prepping, and they thought, you're nuts, you know. And I've heard that sort of thing, oh, that's pointless, you know, just trust God, don't do anything kind of a thing from some people. But it's like, yeah, God looks after people for sure, but he also gave us a brain and, you know, and I believe many of us like insight, foresight into sort of what's coming, and that preparing and being prepared is so important. And that's got to be physically, but spiritually, even at the top of the list before the physical stuff, because things are not going to go back to how they were 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And yeah, it's definitely pretty unsettling, I think, for people.
So a couple things that I've noticed is that really, I really believe that there is something called the hydrogel sensor that they want to inject into people to, it will let public health know that you're sick before you're sick. And basically it's nanoparticles. It was developed by DARPA. They've been working on it for 10 years. And once COVID came out, they said, we're ready to go, ready to roll it out. And what they want to do is inject that gel into your body. And what it does is it assembles and then it grows inside your body and it fuses to all the cells, tissue, muscles, bone, everything, and it grows. But that's not the scariest. The scariest part of it is that you become one with artificial intelligence. You become one. You are your own computer interface. So you would be one with your cell phone, your computer, your, if you have smart stuff in your house, you become one with that. And as far as I'm concerned, and you can't buy or sell, and you may not even be released out into the public. You may not be able to go back to the new normal unless you take this for the good of everybody. And to me, that sounds like the mark of the beast.
It does. Yeah. I mean, Carolyn Hamlet, who I interviewed a few times some years ago, saying her mother told her, because they were Illuminists inside a family, that there was a compassionate plan to basically get rid of the people that were non-re-educational. You know, the compassionate plan is to get rid of them, kill them off so they can be reincarnated or whatever, you know. But it's like this sounds very much like that scenario to me and the mark of the beast. What about if they just come out with a simple COVID-19 vaccine? Well,
that was the vaccine that I told you that there's 48 different kinds. Plus, it does other things like sterilize you. It does some other things. And some people are saying that it might have the quantum dot in it, which is similar to the hydrogel, but not exactly. They could do the sensor and the vaccine together. It's not going to, if I mean, you can't say I'm going to be safe when it's got aborted babies, humanized mice, and humanized, it's not safe. That where are the safety trials? In America, they have suspended all the safety checks and balances to see on clinical trials to see if it really works, if it's safe. Is it safe long term? But I don't think spiritually, if you take and inject dead babies that have been aborted into your body, that God will honor that, your desire for protection. I don't see it.
Yeah, I would agree. So as we close up, what are the things that you would really like to get at the end of the show to all those listening?
So I would say really spiritually get your house in order. You can resist. I think our resistance comes at on a personal level at this point. If you're use your gifting, like some of us are on the front lines and spreading the word, but maybe you are somebody that could just reach out and don't lose your humanity. Be a friend. Don't let them lock you in electronic prison, or, you know, we've got all these glass things like you're in a prison or something. Reach out, you know, call a neighbor, be human, cook a meal for somebody. Just keep that kindness and let's keep our humanity. And we can do that at that level and just really realize that really ultimately this is a spiritual battle and we need to get our spiritual house in order. We need to be prayed up. We need to repent of the sins that we commit personally and then just be about our Father's business.
That
and
sounds
really, awesome. It's a time of good, you know, our redemption draweth nigh. You know, we kind of look at it, yes, we're going to suffer a little bit, but the good news is we're going to be spending eternity with our Lord and Savior. And he's going to bring evil to an end. And we have begun that process now. So many people in history look forward to this time, and we were born for such a time as this.
And Paul said he considered the present sufferings not worth comparing with the weight of glory that will be revealed in us, you know. So I guess we've got to keep that in mind. This is not the end of the story, and our heavenly home is far better than here. We're only pilgrims passing through. So now, where can the listeners find you online?
So I will, once I get done with my 2020 Branson True Legends Conference, Ancient Cataclysms and Coming Catastrophes, which came a little bit sooner than we anticipated, then I will get back to writing, and it's at shepherdsheart.life. on my blog. And then I also have a very lively Patreon community. We pray for one another. I do special behind the scenes. I give classes, everything from how to butcher and can to make bread to make healing creams. We talk about alternative medicine. I do. It's a time that you can ask me questions. Any question. We do have a Q&A every Tuesday night. And it's pretty lively community. And so folks are welcome to join that. So you would go to patreon.com and look for Shepherd's Heart Farm. And that would be me.
Sounds great. And folks, also don't forget our website, aminutetomidnight.com. Visit that. All of our shows there are in audio and video format. We also put them in video format on YouTube and on iTunes. And A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. I want to say thank you to all the people that do help us. It's a full-time job for me, and I really appreciate people's help. The music used in the background in the shows is mine. I've written, played, and recorded that as well. So really, that's about it, I think. I want to say thank you very much for being on the A Minute to Midnight show, Celeste.
It was nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will have you back again. It would be really good to keep in touch.
Yes. God bless.
God bless you also.